And Mark even says it, but without a parable, verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them. When they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. That's just the way it is with truth, isn't it? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. This book is written to God's people. Then verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I've spoken on this a number of times. Tonight, the thought that I want to impress upon your hearts is that clinging to God and His truth brings peace and stability and hope. Don't we need that in this world? Sometimes it gets rough. You don't have to answer, but have you ever been faced with anything when you just felt like God wasn't with you? Have you ever been tempted to say, Lord, where were you? I hear that from time to time, from different ones going through troubles and heartaches. And if you have it settled in your mind tonight, I want you to settle. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe these scriptures, if you believe what God has done for His people, from choosing them from before the foundation of the world, from sending His Son to this world to save us from our sins, and giving us the promise that He's coming back, He's going to gather us up and take us home to be with Him. If you have it settled in your mind that that is the absolute truth, no matter what our circumstances may ever become, no matter whatever happens to us, no matter whatever happens to this world, if we can hold on to that truth, it's not going to change. And it doesn't change because of our circumstances. We need to, if we haven't already, we need to have that settled in our mind, that unshakable faithfulness, and trust that God will do what He's promised. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but we know what God has promised. You see, when people get into situations like that and they're questioning God, they've lost their hold on the truth, if they knew it. We're blessed to know it. Now, understand, situations can be such that it's so agonizing that we're not thinking clearly. That emotions can be so strong that we cry out and we voice things that's not exactly what we understand to be the truth. Now, in this ship, These disciples had a lot to learn about who this was that they were following. How about us? We know that's Jesus. We know he has all power, both in heaven and in earth. We know he can raise the dead. We know he can heal the lepers. We know, cleanse the lepers. We know that he can restore sight to the blind. We know that. How do we know that? By faith. If God hadn't had mercy upon us and given us his Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know that. We might have heard it, but we wouldn't be able to say we know it. But don't we know that tonight? We know who he is. By faith, we know who he is. These men in that ship with him didn't yet have a great deal of understanding. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Is that true? You mean if long as we believe, we don't have to worry about any troubles? That's not the way life is. That's not what the Bible says. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Couple that with the fact that we realize that we live in a fallen world. And so there are going to be bad things happening all the time. All the time. And sometimes it happens to good folks. And I have seen situations, tremendously faithful people have to go through terrible afflictions. And I don't have an answer for that, except to hold on to God. Just because my circumstances are hard doesn't change God in the least. If we understand that he is holy, 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 that he's righteous, that he's altogether good, and he'll do what's right, that doesn't mean that he's controlling everything that happens in this world. Now, he can do anything he wants to in this world. He can intervene. The Bible even speaks about Jeremiah 7:31. It talks about the children of Israel were sacrificing their children. Okay? And it says, "It never entered into my heart for them to do that." That's one of my proof texts that not all things are predestinated. Not everything that men do are predestinated of God. Not only is it in Jeremiah 7:31, I believe it's Jeremiah 19 and 5. The first one he says, God says it never entered into my heart. The next one, if I don't have them crossed, the next one says it never entered into my mind. In other words, it was not his will for them to do that. He knew they would, but it's not his will. My point is, things happen in this world. We don't always have the answers for them. But that doesn't mean God is any less loving and gracious and kind. In the world, Jesus said, ye shall have tribulation. But he didn't leave us there, did he? He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So whatever we experience in this life, if it happens to be one of those dark times, we can look beyond it to that hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, that someday the trials of this life are going to be over. Romans chapter 8 tells us, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a better day coming. We may have to struggle some in this world. There's a better day coming. So, Jesus, let's see, we stopped where they asked the question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? There's some things wrong with that question. First of all, obviously, the Lord cared. Secondly, they weren't going to perish. You remember how this started? Let us pass over to the other side. We are blessed to know tonight that he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Nothing is going to keep the Lord from doing what he purposes to do, because he has all power both in heaven and in earth. So he began by telling them, let us pass over to the other side. We would do well to remember that in our experience and in the promises and providence of God and what he purposes to do to save us from our sins. That has been finished. Jesus said it's finished on the cross, and it is. And so heaven will be our home. If we're blessed to understand who Jesus is, what he did, what he accomplished for us, if we are able to embrace that wonderful truth, then bless your hearts. Heaven will be our home. We don't know what this life may be like, but we know the promise that awaits us, the fulfillment of it. And it's not left to us. We're being kept by the power of God. Now what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 1, well, I believe it's verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We're kept. Okay? So, we have to realize we may face things at some point in our life. You may have already faced some things in your life, and you had to deal with this. We may face it, I don't know. But the truth of God's word is, he cannot change. And he has blessed us to know what he's done for us. So if they had been blessed to understand those things, then when Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, they might have gotten wet. But I wonder if things would have been a little different. You know, we'd like to, pardon? That's right. So I'd like to think that we could have sat there and rested in the fact that he said, let's pass over to the other side. Because that tells us he fully intended to get to the other side. You know, just think about that for a moment. What if, I know we have to be careful about speculating, but I'm just, for this principle, for this lesson, what if you were quietly sitting there, though the storm was raging, knowing that he said, let's pass over to the other side? You don't know what's going to happen in between there. You don't know how it's going to get. You don't know how wet you're going to get before you get there, but he said, let's pass over to the other side. What if you were sitting quietly there, waiting for the Lord to do whatever he had to do to fulfill what he said? You wouldn't have been doing what they were doing. They were panicking. These were some seasoned fishermen who were accustomed to being out on the water, who knew how a storm could blow up quickly in that part of the world. They knew this was nothing different. It happened all the time. But they also knew that the ship was filling up with water. And if that continued, they also knew what that meant. But what if? See, the truth is there. The Lord's there. He's all they needed to get to the other side. He'd even said, let us pass over to the other side. And so, if he said, that's what we're going to do, then with an understanding of who he is and what he's able to do, and knowing that he's faithful and he's going to keep his word, then, bless your hearts, we can sit here tonight and say, well, they were going to get there without the loss of one. Isn't that right? But what happens when you don't have the understanding and you don't have the confidence and you're not trusting? I don't know to what degree they were trusting, but they were questioning whether the Lord cared that they perished. You see, the Lord was asleep. He wasn't worried about a thing, was he? And if they had had a perfect confidence in the Lord, maybe they could have been too. Instead, they were panicking. Master, they woke him up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? From their very words, you can see what they were thinking. And not only that, but from what they said, you can see how we are thinking when our confidence is not resting solidly in the Lord. We could be there too. As a matter of fact, if we'd have been there, back there, we might have been right there with him waking the Lord up. I'd like to think, you know, knowing what we know tonight, we might have acted differently, but knowing what they knew at that point, they were panicking. Have we ever panicked? As if to say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? I hope that tonight, I don't know what going on in everybody's life. There may be something very pressing. There may be something very serious. I'm not aware of it, but it could be. But I hope that each one of us have already, and if not, I hope tonight, we can settle in our mind that we will trust the Lord no matter what. Because when we're in a setting like this, we understand that's exactly the right thing to do. And if circumstances were to change, it's not going to change the right thing to do. It's not going to change the Lord. It's not going to change anything about him. It's not going to change his love for us. It's not going to change his power to help us. And so whatever we have to face, we know that the Lord's able. You know, the three Hebrew children, they allowed themselves to be thrown into that furnace. They didn't know whether the Lord was going to deliver them out of it. It looked like he wasn't going to deliver them from it, from going in. And I doubt any of them entertained the idea that he could keep them in it. Maybe they figured that this is it. We're going to trust the Lord and life's over. Maybe they thought that. I don't think any of them realized or was even expecting what happened. Certainly not Nebuchadnezzar. But look what God was able to do. Now, he could do a lot more than that, but he showed us what he was willing to do on that occasion. When they boldly stood up to the king and said, we're not careful to answer you. Did you hear that? We're not careful. We've already decided what we're going to do. So you go ahead and do what you have to do, but we're going to trust God. Don't you love that? What a wonderful example for each one of us tonight. And it's just as important for us to settle in our mind when the need's not there. It's probably more important for us to settle it in our mind ahead. That's what Daniel did, didn't he? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, with the wine, king's wine. He just wasn't going to defile himself with the things of that realm. And God honored them, and God blessed them. And so we need to do the same. We need to settle in our mind, we're going to be faithful to the Lord. Now, don't we have a promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13? It says, there hath no temptation taken. You see, the three Hebrew children, they were faced with a temptation, weren't they? Daniel would later be faced with a temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It may be an escape from it. It may be an escape through it. Whatever the case might be, we have that promise in the Word of God. We know it's there. We know He's faithful. We know He's able. So we need to settle it in our mind as we go through each day. Put on that armor of God. And be ready for the day. We don't know what we're going to face. Tragedy could strike any moment. We just don't know. But we know God's faithful. We know God is able. And we're blessed to know His promises. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. He's going to show them that he cares. Before we get into that, though, what could possibly have calmed their fears in the midst of that storm? You ever thought about that? I mean, here's these fishermen. They knew what this was like. They'd been there before. What possibly could have calmed their fears? Well, I submit to you that a better understanding of what manner of man Jesus was would have helped tremendously, wouldn't it? You see, later they're going to say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, if they'd have known that ahead of time, that all he has to do is speak, and what was troubling them was over. He literally has power. He had it then. He's got it tonight. He has power over all the troubles that come against us in this life. Not even a death in sins was a problem for him. He already had the remedy from the foundation of the world. It was just a matter of time. Jesus, coming to this world, would shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. But bless your hearts, nothing is too hard for the Lord. If their confidence had been in him, if they had a better understanding of who he was. Now, granted, like we started out, without faith, they'll never get there, right? But with faith. Now, with faith, sometimes we come short, don't we? You know, Jesus would say eventually, why are you so fearful? Well, we know why they were fearful. We know what was happening. We know that they knew what could happen. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He just answered the question. The reason they were fearful is because they didn't trust the Lord was able to take care of them. Why is it, or how is it, he says here, that ye have no faith? Elsewhere, in Matthew We find that Jesus would say, let's see, it's in Matthew, it's also in Luke. Here he says, how is it that you have no faith? I believe Matthew says, why is it that you have, O ye of little faith? And then Luke would say, I just lost it. Sorry. You have little faith. Why is it that you have no faith? Okay, Luke says, where is your faith? And that really addresses it too, doesn't it? Where is your faith? In other words, it's not in the Lord. It's not in His ability. It's not in what He's doing. Or not, you know, thinking about what He's able to do. Where is your faith? See, all three of those questions are questions that we can benefit from tonight. Why is it that you have no faith? They weren't expressing any faith in the Lord to save them. As a matter of fact, they were even questioning, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So you can see what's beyond their thinking. They're extending this out and they're thinking they're about to perish. All right, so how is it that you have no faith? By his question, they didn't think they were going to make it. They think they're going to perish. They have no faith. That was the problem, wasn't it? But they didn't have the understanding of who he is, what manner of man this was. Well, they're going to get there, just like we had to get there. How many times have we wished we had more understanding? How many times have we wished we had a more complete understanding of the scriptures and what God has purposed and those kinds of things? How many times? But we can grow. We can learn. And God has gone to great lengths to give us this proven word. He's given us a pure word. What we talked about last week, a pure word, a proven word, a preserved word, and a profitable. I'm not talking about increasing your bank account. I'm talking about something that'll do you good. It would have done those disciples good for them to have a better understanding of how faithful Jesus was, the fact that he is the Son of God, that he is God manifest in the flesh. I think that they had some understanding, don't you? They had some understanding of that, but it wasn't to the point of complete trust. And I would ask that of ourselves. I'd ask it of myself. Do we have that complete trust? I hope that each one of us can say we're a whole lot closer to it than we used to be. And I hope we're there. When we're thinking clearly, we're there. Sometimes we get blindsided. Sometimes emotions just flood our soul. Sometimes we're caught off guard. But bless your hearts, remember, he's worthy of absolute trust. Settle in your heart before trouble comes. And hold on to it. Hold on to it for the ride. Because the waves are going to come. The winds are going to blow. Isn't that what the end of the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus described that one that heareth these sayings and doeth them. Not just hearing, not just knowing, but hold on to it. Apply it. He that heareth these sayings and doeth mine, I liken him to a wise man, built his house on a rock, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it fell not. It fell not, because it was founded, built upon a rock. Oh, as we trust God, he'll help us in our times of trouble. Doesn't always mean we'll be delivered from the struggle. It just means we can trust him no matter what. Part of what helps us is to understand God has placed absolute and eternal care of his people in Christ. In Christ. We're chosen in him. You know, read those passages. Speak about how we were chosen in him. We're called with a holy calling. You know, he has saved us and called us. The saving happened first, didn't it? Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So hang on to that. Remember that. According to his own purpose and grace was given us in Christ, before the foundation of the world. He loved us. You know, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. That foreknowledge is when he set his love upon us. And he set it upon us individually, didn't he? Okay. The Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So he knew, Jesus knew who he came to save. He knew who he was suffering for on the cross. He chose us, he saved us, he's called us, he loves us. According to Jude, we're preserved in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we're shielded from all of the happenings in this world. It just simply means we're preserved in Christ. We'll be with him in glory. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, if we can just hold on to these basic scriptures that speak of God's purpose and what Jesus accomplished and how we're preserved safe in him and that we can never be separated from his love, it'll help us. And whatever we're going, it'll give us peace. It'll give us security. It'll give us hope. Peter spoke about how that the Lord, how God had begotten them again unto a lively hope. I don't think Peter was talking about regeneration there. Peter was talking about the fact that they saw him die. Their hope died with him on the cross. Their hope was with him in the tomb. But he came forth. He's begotten us again, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus came forth out of that tomb, bless your hearts, their hope was alive then, because Jesus is alive. And we know tonight, by faith, we know he's alive. We've never seen him with our eyes, but bless your hearts, we know he lives. He's seated. We know that he's, from the word of God, we know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now. Right now. And someday he's coming back. Do you know that? Do Do you know it? Really? Sure? We're resting in it, waiting for it, looking for it. I don't know when. You know, so many times I thought about that little story that I heard Brother Jim Davidson tell years ago. About a man married this woman, and every night before bed, he would walk out on the porch and look up into heavens, and he'd go back in, they'd turn in. Well, she watched that for a long time, and finally the curiosity has got the best of her. She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, every night I go out and say, 'Lord, you didn't come today, but maybe tomorrow.'" That helps us to keep a pilgrim perspective. That helps us to keep our feet on the ground. It helps us to remember His promise is sure. We don't know when it's going to be, and it doesn't matter when it's going to be. But we know by faith it's going to be. And so God, before the foundation of the world, placed absolute and eternal care of us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though man fell in sin, that did not change the purpose of God. Oh, it brought a lot of misery in this world. It brought a lot of heartache and suffering. But let's balance that with what Paul said in Romans 8. I reckon. He's not using a slang expression there. He's counted it all up. And here's the result. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. Paul, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what Paul went through. But whatever it was, it's for time. What we have awaiting us is eternity. No bounds. No end. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not just to us, but in us. We're going to be changed. We're going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And we're going to be taken home to be with Him forever. To be in His presence. Not just to know about Him, but to be in His presence forevermore. Wow. And so in this fallen world, with all the evil, with all the wickedness that's happening, with all the bad things that's going on and sometimes affecting good folks, and all the struggles that sometimes precious saints of God have to endure every day they live. Paul would also say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our light affliction. And he's not belittling the suffering that some people have to go through. But in comparison, it is. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Glory is going to be far better, and it'll never end. This world's going to come to an end. Someday, God's going to split the sky. Jesus is going to come in glory. But eternity is just that. We can't fathom that, can we? We want to put things in a box. We want to define things. But the definition of eternity is it has no end. Just beyond our comprehension. But by faith, we can lay hold on it. And hope for it. In Christ. In Christ. All that are in Christ are safe in His blood. Preserved in Him. Now, if God's done all that for us, don't you know He's pleased to watch over us each day? We can call upon Him. We can ask Him for His help. So when they came and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose. You know that didn't surprise the Lord. You know, and I understand that storms can blow up quickly on those seas over there in that part of the world. You know, it looked like it's smooth sailing and all of a sudden things can change drastically. Isn't that the way life is? Life's that way. God doesn't change. He stays the same. So it may have surprised the apostles, but it didn't surprise the Lord. It didn't keep Him from sleeping. He knew what He would do. He rose and rebuked the wind and the sea. You know the passage. I'd love to have been there then. Wouldn't you? Just rebuked it. And what happened? The great calm. When the Lord comes on the scene, whether or not He stills the storm around us, there could be a great calm within us. To remember He's able. To remember He's in control. He can do whatever it's His will to do. He's sovereign. None can stay His hand. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. Nebuchadnezzar thought he could do what he wanted to do. He found out. No. God does, though. He learned that. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Don't you just love thinking about that change in your mind? How the wind was boisterous, how the waves were filling up the ship, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. Trouble's over. It's not even there. It's not that it moved on. It just wasn't there. God can do that. Then He said, "Why are ye so fearful?" We've talked about that already, haven't we? Why? You ever look back on some of your life and been through some things and realize, well, why didn't I trust more? I have. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I have. He knows our frame. He knows. But when He asked the question, it was for their learning. It's for our learning. And we need to apply this to our life. Why are ye so fearful? And even though He asks another question, He really answers it, the first one, with that second question. How is it that you have no faith? Well, the reason they were fearful is because they didn't have any faith. They didn't have faith in the Lord the way they should have. Isn't it a blessing tonight that we're blessed to know that He is God?
Absolutely. Oh my.
That He is able to do His will.
Absolutely.
That yes, we know we're going to have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. I, He says, have overcome the world. And He showed it to them on that occasion. He showed them that He could overcome the storms of this world. Right there. Later, He's going to show them from coming forth from the tomb that He overcome death itself.
Mm-hmm.
He has that power.
That's right.
He has it. We need to remember. Why? Why were they fearful? because they weren't having faith in the Lord. How is it that you have no faith? They'd already seen some miracles. But we still need to grow, don't we? Still need to grow. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this?" You see, that's how we know that there's still a lot that they needed to know. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Do you know that tonight? Do you know that the wind and the sea obey him? It did then. He doesn't change. So, it would have to. It would have to. We can rest in that, can't we? We could trust that. We're blessed to know what manner of man he is. And because of what manner of man he was then, they made it to the other side. And because of what manner of man he is tonight, we'll make it to the other side. We will. It might be bumpy. It might be fearful. But we will make it to the other side. As far as this nation is concerned, you know, I was getting pretty discouraged some time back, seeing so many things happening, seeing like our government had been hijacked. And I'm encouraged by some of the things I'm seeing. You know, I'm not totally on board with everything that's going on, but I'm encouraged to some extent. But I'm thankful that in a more clearer way now than I had been in some years. You know, it's you know some things sometimes, but you don't feel the urgency sometimes. But even though I'm encouraged, I continue to feel the urgency of praying to God for him to show himself strong. And if he chooses to work through these people that are in our government now, that'd be wonderful. But I'm not trusting in man. We're trusting in the living God. That's where our trust needs to be. That's where those apostles needed to be trusting on that occasion in the storm that they were facing, which surely they would have perished had he not been the manner of man that he was. But they didn't. Because he showed himself strong. He blessed them and delivered them. And the lesson to us tonight is that is where our deliverance is tonight. That's where our deliverance will be tomorrow. That's where our deliverance will be until he comes again. It's our only help. He's a very present help in trouble. Matter of fact, as we've said before, he's even more present than our trouble. He knows everything. He knows. He declares the end from the beginning. Okay, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knows. Let us trust him no matter what. If we can hold on to him, cling to God and his truth, it will bring peace and stability and hope no matter what we're facing. May God bless you, is our prayer. Amen. Somebody have a number to close with?